Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Josh, my friend, Elden Ring's DLC may have leaked. It's actually been data mined by a fan who discovered a line of code in the game with the phrase DLC-01 inside it. Now, there's not that much to go off. However, if you look at the timeline of previous From Software games to DLC releases, we are almost right on time. And you might even say that we're about a month away.
Is that right?
Considering past things. Now, if you go, like I said, if you go into previous From Software releases, Bloodborne came out in March 2015. The DLC came out in November 2015. Dark Souls 3 came out in March 2016. The DLC was in October 2016. Dark Souls 2, the game was in March. The three DLCs were all out by September. The only outlier is Sekiro, which came out in March 2019 and didn't get any story-based DLC, but did get some DLC the year after, later on by October 2020. But overall, excuse me, it seems like From Software like to aim for getting their DLC out, story-based DLC,
yes,
in the same year as the game and Elden Ring. There's many theories we can get to in terms of what the DLC might be about, but what do you think?
Scott Telford, do you know why I'm so excited about this potential news? It's because From Software does incredible DLC.
Yes.
All of the games that you mentioned there, bar Sekiro, which doesn't really fit the bill, had like incredible expansions when all was said and done. Yes, some of them individually might have felt a little bit short and maybe were a little disappointing at the time, but taken as a whole, every kind of substantial update that these games have had, in my opinion, has been worthwhile. I love Bloodborne, the Old Hunters. You know, Dark Souls 2 DLC is arguably better than the main game.
Totally.
They've got a good track record, is all I'm saying. And I loved Elden Ring, and I just want more from this world. And I think, as we're going to get into, there are so many interesting avenues that they could take with whatever they do to kind of give us an addendum or maybe even an epilogue to this experience.
So let's talk about some theory things. Obviously, Elden Ring has incredible lore. You know, coming from George R. R. Martin, twin with Hidetaka Miyazaki, there's a lot of different bits and pieces that you could pull from. And even when you first go through the story, as much as you need to read item descriptions and everything else to really get a feel for it, or just watch Vati Vidya's videos.
Which is what I do.
Which is what we do. Massive shout out to that dude. Yeah, like I said, there's a handful of things that I think would make for super cool DLC. So we'll run some stuff down. The first one is the idea of the Elder Beast's origin slash the Elden Ring's origin and taking you up to space. We know that the Elden Beast came from a star long before the events of the game. And something out there in space set that in motion, the greater will or whatever the hell you want to call it. That's my first theory, that we'll get to do something set in space.
Well, Scott Aylford, I love that, right? Because so much in Elden Ring already revolves around, you know, space on the moon or whatever. Mm. And especially if you go down Rani's ending, which,
yes,
judging by the trophy data, a lot of us did, at least for the first time around, you know, it's very tantalizing about what's out there. And like you said, where does the greater will come from? I'm not going to pretend like I've got watertight Elden Ring lore, but just going off, you know, kind of like the base storytelling beats of the original game and the kind of iconography that was within there. I want to see what's going on outside of this planet, essentially. I want to go interstellar.
Yes, same. In a Christopher Nolan sense, I'm very curious what the, there's all that fractured pieces of the Old Kingdom that are there, which assumedly came from something that took place on that same, you know, patch of land or whatever. But what if that kingdom was sensed, landed on Earth from somewhere else, maybe some sort of kingdom in the stars or whatever. My next one down is...
Wait,
go on.
Before you go
on.
Oh my
God.
I want to jump back in because
jump
I'm just, I love the sound of my own voice. Going back to the stars, what I love about From Software,
yes,
in their previous stories, especially Bloodborne's, is the sense of the cosmic, you know, in
totally.
From in Elden Ring in particular, is kind of like, in the best way possible, a greatest hits run through of a lot of the beats from their the stories of their previous games. And if we get a bigger focus on the cosmic with the DLC, it will remind me of Bloodborne and give me, or at least allow me to scratch the Bloodborne 2 itch.
One of the coolest
coolest
one of the coolest things in Bloodborne 2 is the reveal that you're being watched by a series of eldritch horrors that are all throughout the kingdom, whatever you want to call it. And yeah, Hidetaka Miyazaki has long had a sort of a love of Cthulian horror. Look at the enemy designs, the monster designs over various games. The idea of tapping back into that directly on the biggest game he's done so far would make a whole lot of sense. The next thing that I had down, though, was traveling back in time to Placidus-Sax's kingdom. Placidus-Sax's this dragon dude.
Sorry to jump in, I'm just so impressed that you got that pronunciation correct.
I'm learning Japanese. If you need me to say arigato gozaimasu, I can bust that out. I'm getting in touch with multiple phonemic words. Anyway, Placidus-Sax's kingdom was the whole idea of a dragon lord, a dragon kingdom, and the thing that was set in motion. I don't know how long before the events of the game, but you do get to fight Placidus-Sax with his twin heads. Assumedly, this dude at one point ruled the realm, and I just love the idea of a dragon rulership and what rules they would have, and if they would wear robes. I don't know if they'd have armor on. Like in House of the Dragon, but George Martin absolutely loves dragons.
Yes.
So why not do a Dragon Kingdom? I've never seen anything like that before, especially in, you know, rendered more realistically. So I'm curious if that's the way they go.
And it's cool because we saw the remnants of this kingdom right at the end of the game, where you had a few dragons still, you know, flying around this, you know, place that is crumbling. It's literally called, I think, the crumbling something else that I've forgotten. And you get like the dragons, you get the tornadoes. It looks really cool. Mm-hmm. And again, that's very much on brand for From Software if we're going to be doing a time traveling shenanigan with the DLC, because they have done that before.
Yep.
You know, like I said, going back to Bloodborne, the old hunters, you know, you're going, yes, into a dream, but you're also kind of like going back in time and you're seeing enemies from the past, you're seeing hunters from the past, and this is already has a precedent in Elden Ring itself.
Yes.
So I think that would be really cool, not just for the reasons that you mentioned there in terms of what you would actually see with this, you know, kind of like place at its peak.
Yes, well, that's the thing. Like, speaking of, you know, the way that you access this boss fight, you literally just lie down on a random piece of floating stone and it takes you back in time. So I feel like because they've already done that, you know, they can just use that to beam you to any point in the timeline and let you see certain events or let you take part in certain events that are referenced in the item descriptions, etc. Which brings you to my next point, which is a Malenia focused DLC. Malenia, by far the fan favorite character, obviously by far one of the hardest bosses in the game. One of the events that was depicted in the earlier trailers was her taking on Radahn. Radahn is the massive dude who rides a little tiny horse.
Yes, a little small one.
But also, again, Radahn was one of the hardest fights in the game, you know, pre-patch or whatever you want to call it.
Speak for yourself.
Well, Josh gets through it first time because it's not going to be Hades' first time. But still, the Radahn fight versus Malenia was why the Scarlet Rot was so prevalent in the world overall when we get to explore it as players in the timeline of Elden Ring itself. Apparently, that fight between Malenia and Radahn led to some sort of wound slash attack that Malenia unleashed, and that's what the Scarlet Rot is, because she's already full of it anyway, which obviously takes, you know, factors into her boss fight. But what do you think of them going to that fight? It's going to be that far before the events of the game.
No.
Maybe he plays Malenia, I don't know.
Oh my god, I mean...
I don't know.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
Scott Silver, when I went through this game in New Game Plus, I used Melania's suit of armor, and it looked absolutely sick. Uh-huh. No, I guess this would be sort of, like you said, maybe the fan favorite approach to take, because if I recall correctly, Melania was like the first thing we ever saw from Elden Ring. If I remember, piece of promotional art was that character, obviously, and then we saw the fight, or the aftermath, with the fight with Radahn. I love that. I love the stuff with the Scarlet Rot. Same. And again, I'm not 100% on this, but when just before you fight Melania, you kind of see one of her Scarlet Rot cocoons. I'm not sure if that has any extra significance or what of that can come into play. I'm kind of as in the dark as a lot of people are. But I do like that as an
Bring
idea.
Bring me the
horizon. End of course. I don't know what that... What?
In the dark?
Oh, very good, very good. This guy, he's better than me. He's more professional.
No, he just listens to a lot of Bring Me the Horizon. Anyway, in terms of Melania stuff, I feel like that would be an easy win considering the reputation of that character. However, another character that a lot of people love is Mikla. That's the dude that's inside the cocoon. I forget the name of the character that you fight, but they're protecting this cocoon, and there's an... Oh, do you remember?
It's a... Oh my god, it's something... The Blood Omen?
Margit?
No! It doesn't matter.
Marjorie. Whatever that dude's called, you fight a dude, another one of the really hard bosses in the game.
Yes.
And they're defending this big egg that has a dude inside it called Mikla, and one of the prevalent fan theories for a long time is, what the hell is Mikla really doing? What dream are they stuck into? And maybe touching their hand or interacting with them more takes you into their dream or takes you to some sort of place where you can do a DLC. A lot of fans talking about, you know, what Mikla might do in the greater scheme of things, and maybe they would be the one that facilitates you getting access to the greater will, and maybe Mikla's role in this is to reset everything overall. There's a whole bunch of wider fan theory stuff going on, but do you want to touch Mikla's hands, Josh?
I really do. I've been wanting to do that for months now. This was one of the first fan theories that I saw, probably on the Reddit, someone suggesting that the DLC will start when you go up to that egg and you touch the hand and then you get, you know, sucked into something, some kind of realm or whatever. And I always thought that was really interesting because that area, you know, with all of the blood and the kind of, you know, kind of like nightmarish hellscapes that you're fighting through to get to that point. I thought it was, like, you know, incredibly evocative. It looked really cool. And I always wanted to know more about what was going on there. And I always thought it was strange that in the main game, you didn't really go back there to get any more elaboration or to do anything with the hand or the egg. So for me, ever since I heard that, I'm like, that's what I want to see from the DLC personally.
That kind of goes alongside, it's almost like a fan theory that goes alongside the Mikla stuff, is like you said, it would let you explore that area like more, because one of the coolest things in Elden Ring is realizing there's a duplicate world underneath the one that you're on. I forget the name of that place, actually, now that I try to think of it. It's been a while since the start of the year.
We're forgetting a lot, aren't we? I think we're going to rip us to shreds in the comment now.
Mikla, Melania, there's a lot of stuff to remember from a good few months ago, but anyway, I like the idea of pulling that trick twice, or at least doing something that would let you explore that area and do more in the underground, which I found that in 15 minutes, which is hilarious. Didn't necessarily mean to, but I stumbled into that area, and then everyone else was like, I found it 40 hours later.
Literally, I think it was about the 40-hour mark when I finally went down that elevator and thought, oh, this is what Scott mentioned in the first hour of gameplay.
Yeah, I was like, this is a really good tutorialist. I'm getting lots of information. And the last thing that I've got down was Josh's idea, which is the fingers that you talk to, the sort of the fingers that are waiting for a response from the greater will, the ones that you check in with across the game, and they go into ostensibly a hibernation at the end of the game. They're waiting for more information from the greater will, And I think they say there'll be a 1,000 year gap, or they only check in every sort of 1,000 years or so. And maybe we'll jump forward in time, or go to some other point in time when the fingers have intervened or tried to communicate the greater will.
Yeah, I kind of want to see this because I thought that was such, again, an evocative plot point. You know, the fingers suddenly stop communicating with you, and then it's like, well, we'll try again in 1,000 years, see what happens, you know, when we get some kind of more orders. Mm-hmm. And I kind of want, if I was personally doing this, which, you know, thank God for everyone watching this, that I'm not, because it might be bad.
1975 DLC, on your way.
The Matty Healy DLC. I would take that, man. Of course I would. Being funny in a foreign language.
Yeah,
right?
DLC.
What I was going to say is,
yes,
I think it would be cool to do a Dark Souls 3 thing with that if you jump 1,000 years in the future, and then maybe at the end of the DLC, you actually fight a version of yourself that became Elder Lord in the game. I think that would be quite neat. Obviously, maybe impossible to do because you'd have to take into account
one of the endings,
vastly different endings of Elden Ring itself, but there might be a way to maybe fight a shadow of yourself, because I mean, you fight a lot of shadows of previous lords in the game already. Maybe there's a way to do it. I'm not entirely sure.
I'm just thinking of, you know, which endings have a future at all, because if you do the Dung Eater ending, everything's an apocalypse.
Yes.
Not necessarily immediately. If you do the Fire ending, everything burns.
I love the Frenzied Flame.
Frenzied Flame ending. If you do the Rani ending, there is something else that's going to happen. But yeah, I feel like most of those endings were fairly compact anyway. But there is also that idea threaded throughout Elden Ring that the fingers will last longer than anyone else anyway, and that they're always kind of there. They're always doing something. They're always sort of waiting to be able to do something else and influence the events of the world.
Yeah.
But overall, what do you want from Elden Ring DLC? We talked about theories. We talked about, you know, the idea of them matching the same release schedule as previous games. What do you want from it? Do you want lore? Do you want gameplay? Do you want levels?
I'm greedy, so I want it all. I want the level cap to be increased. I want more. I kind of hope we get a new open world area, or at least the hub that we have now, for lack of a better word, it's very early in the morning, to be like radically changed, like you said, through either time travel shenanigans or whatever. You know, I kind of want another big place to explore, preferably with another big dungeon, another big, you know, place, Dark Souls-esque place to explore, like the Lindell capital or whatever, you know, just something meaty to dive into. If you get one big dungeon in one big interesting kind of like surrounding area, that would satisfy me personally.
Because I feel like if they do my dragon idea, the potato sack stuff, then you would almost be reskinning the existing model a bit and sort of putting those kingdoms back together and letting you explore it again, which would almost duplicate the game size that we've already got, but you'd have more characters to interact with, whatever. I also like the sort of micro storytelling that FromSoft do. Like, I love the Volcano Manor stuff with Rykard in this game, and I love the Painted World of Ariama and things like that. I think you could do something like that. However, because Elden Ring is so huge, so ungodly humongous, I feel like that's what they'll do. They'll almost blood and wine it, where it'll be like,
right,
this almost could be a sequel's worth of DLC. And their turnaround is already ridiculous. There was that whole rumor from the start of this year, or earlier this year, that their next game is already almost finished.
Yeah.
Which on their timeline could even be next year, like for the, as much as they roll stuff out. I don't want it next year necessarily.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure I read like an interview around the time Elden Ring came out, and it was like, oh, are you surprised at how, you know, big this was and how big the game is? They were kind of like, nah, we just viewed it as our next game. And it's like, this is the biggest, this is literally, like, in terms of space, the biggest thing you've ever done with so much content in there.
Yeah.
How did you just approach this as yet another game?
That's just what we do, and it's just,
man,
one of the best people in the industry, to be honest. But, yeah, that's how they do. But, yeah, let us know what you think down in the comments below of the idea of Elden Ring DLC. Which fan theories do you want to see, or do you have your own? Let us know. For now, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.